We're going to start today's session with a special guest, Ashu Garg, who's a general partner at Foundation Capital. And Ashu is very much in the swing of things these days of what's happening, and we are going to learn from him on certain specific portions of the entrepreneurship universe that Ashu is particularly passionate about. Welcome, Ashu. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here as well.
So, Ashu, what is your read of how the venture capital industry has evolved in Silicon Valley over the last 5 years? Let's start there.
You know, so the last 5 years have been probably, in some ways, the most exciting, you know, period for venture capital and entrepreneurship in the Bay Area, but also have been sort of, you know, the basis for a gradual buildup of, you know, one might call it enthusiasm, one might call it a bubble, time will tell, but it's probably been the most frenzied period in entrepreneurship and in venture capital in the history of what is, you know, a relatively young industry.
And what do you see as the key trends at this point?
And when you're thinking about trends, are you thinking about trends in venture capital or in technology that's influencing venture capital, or both?
Both, but technology entrepreneurship as it pertains to venture capital.
Got it. So I think on the technology side, there are three trends that we're spending a lot of time thinking about, and by no means is this comprehensive. The first is really the infusion of machine learning and predictive analytics into all spheres of life. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about does with Google search and the sophistication of being able to extract intent and then sort of extract answers to what you would might want, I think you're starting to see that across the board. Every form of enterprise software will, over the course of this decade, you know, essentially become a machine learning application.
We're
seeing that, you know, and that trend has profound implications in how software is built. I mean, the term I use somewhat, you know, half jokingly, is enterprise software will become more like self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually true for all consumer software as well. So that's one mega trend. I think the second mega trend that we see is we are seeing the emergence of marketplaces between a host of small business owners or individual entrepreneurs and consumers, and those consumers could be in the enterprise or individuals, you know. And these marketplaces are disrupting traditional oligopolies. Uber is the obvious example, but I think we are seeing this across the board, across industries. I mean, we have marketplace businesses, lending, like Lending Club, that have disrupted traditional banking. We have marketplace businesses like Peerspace that are disrupting the event management space, and the list goes on and on. The third mega trend in technology is the trend around IoT and the notion that you're going to have internet-connected devices that are part of virtually everything you do. And this isn't a new trend. I mean, people have talked about this probably for a decade, if not more. But I think it's finally coming to fruition. I recently bought a internet-connected shirt, which sort of really tracks every muscle that is being moved, you know, in my body as I work out. And it's once you start doing that, it's hard to go back.
So, folks, those of you who are listening to this conversation, I want to give you some pointers as, you know, you think of these macro trends. Now you want to double-click down and see what kinds of problems are people solving and what kinds of companies are developing in that space. If any of these trends are of interest to you and if you want to do that double-clicking down, you can go to our blog and follow. As far as machine learning and AI is concerned, we have two relevant thought leadership series. One is Thought Leaders in Artificial Intelligence. The other is Thought Leaders in Big Data. The big data has been running for more than 5 years. and AI has been running for a couple of years, so you'll find quite a lot of depth to explore those topics. The marketplace one, we have lots of case studies on the blog. We don't have a thought leadership in marketplaces series, but we do have thought leadership, for instance, in fintech, which is one that we think is going through disruptive trends. And Ashu, your firm has a special commitment to fintech, right?
Absolutely. You know, we have made very large investments in fintech marketplaces. You know, we were early investors in Lending Club, early investors in Lending Home, which is in the mortgages space. India, I'm on the board of a company called Funds India, which is transforming retail savings in India. So that's been a big category for us.
And the third one you mentioned, which is IoT, we do have a thought leaders in Internet of Things series as well. So if you want to double click down on that one and understand the nuances of that trend, you can do that as well. So I want to switch the interview to a different topic that you spoke with me a year back about, which is marketing technologies. It was a core area of interest at least a year ago. Help us understand what drives that interest.
So that is absolutely a core area of interest for us, and I would put it in one of the trends in the broad bucket of, you know, the transformation of software using machine learning. Marketing technology is probably by far the first category where that happened, and we've definitely made very significant investments and a big bet on that with a lot of success. I think what is driving that is a fundamental shift in change in consumer behavior. Consumers are increasingly consuming content online. They're consuming content across fragmented devices. Media is fragmented. You know, where we had 25 or 30 TV channels, we now have an infinite number of media choices. Human behavior in terms of how we purchase products, the role that the left brain and the right brain plays, has changed. I mean, more and more consumers want informational needs to be satisfied in addition to their emotional needs. And there are increasingly, every consumer has an individual path to purchase. You know, I use the term, there's an infinite path to purchase for the same item. And that is very true these days, because every one of us can, you know, start a purchase on the internet, or on Quora, or on Facebook. And so those consumer trends are really what's driving the transformation of marketing itself. And that, as part of that transformation, technology is playing an increasing role in that industry. I mean, we believe that marketing technology, which today represents probably 1% or so of all spend in marketing, will grow more than tenfold and will represent more than 10% of all spend in marketing. And that is really a $100 billion plus opportunity.
So can you double-click on that segment, the MarTech segment, as it's come to be known as? Talk about investments that you've made, maybe a couple of examples, and how do you analyze those investments, and what was particularly interesting about those companies that led you to invest in those?
Absolutely. And so let me pick two very different investments. One is a company called TubeMogul. This is an investment I made almost 6 years ago. They're the leading media buying platform for large brand-oriented enterprises. So if you're a large brand advertiser, think Procter & Gamble, L'Oreal, Heineken, TubeMogul is the platform you're using to buy video advertising across the internet. You're now using it, in fact, to also buy television and increasingly to buy all forms of media. The core trend we identified at the time, the initial bet was online video was taking over from traditional linear TV, and that more and more consumers were spending time online watching video. And we were making the bet that marketers will follow. That bet has played out very well. And so, you know, we were just early in the curve, and the company sort of rode that wave. The second wave the company then rode was the idea that media will no longer be bought over martinis or drinks. Media will increasingly be bought using software akin to sort of how stocks are bought on a stock exchange. And so it really became one of the first buy-side brokers for media buying on exchanges. The third trend the company rode was that the fragmentation of exchanges would require a buy-side platform that could integrate media from different exchanges. And so those are the trends the company has ridden. The company is now a public company, and it is by far the market leader in this category, but it's still very small. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's a very nascent market, and I expect this market to grow tenfold over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
A second example is a company called Localytics. Localytics is a leading technology provider for mobile marketing. So if you have a mobile app and you're trying to drive mobile engagement through notifications, through messaging, through a variety of other engagement channels, Localytics is the leading provider of technology in that space. They combine very deep analytics with personalization through machine learning, and we talked about that trend a minute ago, with tight integration into a variety of execution channels so that you can send personalized notifications to consumers that will drive engagement.
Mm-hmm.
That's an investment we made 2.5 years ago. It's a much younger company, and we're doing very well. And it has more of a what's called SaaS business model.
Am I observing right to say that within MarTech, what you are looking to do is invest in companies that have machine learning as the core enabling technology?
I would say within MarTech, machine learning is almost always a part of the core enabling technology. And so, you know, at some level that is table stakes in the marketing technology, and it has been now for 10 years. I think what we really look for is evidence that you have a technology platform that can scale. It is very easy in marketing technology to find a widget that works for some small segment of marketers or that solves a small piece of the problem for all marketers. The question we ask ourselves is, how does this company have $1 billion in revenues?
Right.
And what evidence is there to suggest that the product they're selling can achieve that kind of scale?
And at a pace that is venture scale pace.
And at a pace that is venture scale.
So now, the media buying one has been kind of the probably the most obvious area which needed to be automated and needs to be automated, will be automated because of the trends that you described, and machine learning applies very well into that space. Can you talk about other areas in marketing technology where, powered by machine learning, there is venture scale opportunity that you've identified?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, you know, I'm going to talk about very broad themes. The beauty of entrepreneurship is startups always prove investors wrong. And so I'm sure there are folks in this audience who will have ideas that we haven't even thought of. So with that caveat, you know, last year I published a book called The Decade of the CMO, and it's available online, so I'd encourage people to check it out. But in the decade of the CMO, we talk about five major technology trends within marketing and five buckets of areas where I think multi-billion dollar companies will emerge. The first is around measuring ROI. Mm-hmm. You know, CMOs want a seat at the executive table, but to get that seat on the table, they need to be able to say that every time we spend $100, this is the impact on revenues. They also need to be able to say that every time we spend $100, these are the three things that work that we should do more of, and these are the three things we should do less of. The ability to optimize the media mix, as it's called, or the marketing mix.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires requires the ability to measure what's working and what's not working. Mm-hmm. And while there are a lot of people that solve pieces of the ROI puzzle, it is yet to be solved in a holistic manner.
Mm-hmm.
So one big bucket. The second big bucket we already talked about, which is media buying, and as you said, it was one of the early, you know, areas of innovation, and I would say to a large extent, it's hard to find interesting things there, but, you know, never say never. The third is all brands are becoming publishers, and content marketing is becoming as important as advertising. And I think there is a lot of opportunity for providers, both in the B2B, business-to-business, and in the business-to-consumer side, to build technology platforms to enable marketers to do content marketing at scale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very hard problem because the number of channels that are across which you have to do content marketing, the number of pieces of content is very, very large. But that is a large unsolved problem. The fourth major theme around marketing technology is personalization.
Mm-hmm.
Consumers demand personalization of their marketing experience. And when you provide a personalized experience, there's tons of data to show that the engagement is dramatically higher. The challenge is doing personalization at scale is very hard. It is a big data problem, it's a machine learning problem, but it also has issues around privacy, security, and other things. And so technology providers that can solve the personalization at scale, I think, have a huge opportunity. The fifth key is, you know, really around the reinvention of the interface between sales and marketing. We believe that increasingly marketing will close the deal. And what I mean by that is marketing will go from being generating leads and passing them on to sales to really putting the leads down the funnel to the point that you can actually convert consumers to users using marketing technology. Dropbox does that. They're a great example of that. And I expect that to happen more and more often. And I think software and technology to enable that is increasingly valuable. So those are some major themes, but I'm sure the audience will come up with many more ideas.
So let me, again, audience, let me point you to a few prior sessions. We had the founder of Bloomreach here, which is an excellent company in this whole personalization area, one of the market leaders in the e-commerce personalization, retail personalization areas. If you want to double-click down on that trend, we have an excellent case study, and there are many others on the blog. The one that is very close to our heart, because we have been very successful using that, is content marketing. And I share your belief that every brand basically now needs to become a publisher. And that's extremely difficult to do, right?
Yep.
So what have you seen that have caught your attention, or what have you seen as examples of people doing it well in ways that can become, you know, pillars or bases, foundations of scalable solutions in that area?
So, you know, so it's a great question. And the shift from being a brand marketer who uses advertising as a primary communication channel to becoming a content marketer is a massive one. And we see a lot of SaaS companies, these are software as a service companies in Silicon Valley, you know, use content marketing very successfully. And in some ways, it's easier for them because they don't have a legacy that they are competing with internally. They don't have the baggage that comes with having done brand marketing for decades. When you look at large brands, what you see is large brands like Pepsi and Coke have done a very good job of doing content marketing around an event. So mm-hmm. whether it's the World Cup or it is some other, or the Olympics, you'll see massive programs put around tweets and content to engage their audience around that event. but they've really struggled to build an ongoing content marketing channel such that as consumers we can both be entertained and informed by the content that they are providing. And the reason that it's been hard is that it requires a fundamental shift. You have to build a newsroom and make that the center of the marketing organization. And you have to think of the newsroom as the alternative to your ad agency in a sense. It has to be done in-house. And once you have that newsroom in place, that newsroom then begins to distribute content across channels. But that is a work in progress.
In some cases, actually, the newsroom analogy probably is not the right analogy. Think about a toothbrush brand or something like detergent brand. That's not news oriented. I think actually if you think about how to do content marketing for those kinds of brands, it's a very difficult problem.
It is very difficult. So the newsroom analogy, I'm using the word very loosely, it's the idea that you have to have a team of folks that are thinking about content creation.
Yeah.
Thinking about content creation in the context of what users want. So, take a toothpaste brand. Talking about your toothpaste and the color and the flavor is probably not that interesting for the audience.
No.
But maybe dental hygiene is. Maybe stories about how the brand is engaging with changing the lives of poor people in third world countries is of interest to people. Talking about some of the innovations in technology that they're implementing in-house to dramatically change the quality of the toothpaste may be interesting to people. So I think they have to find ways to connect. I think if as a brand you cannot connect to their audience, then the question is, do you deserve to be a brand or are you just a commodity?
Yep. Your newsroom analogy actually works very well in our context because we essentially run a part of our business as a media company. And we publish really great content. And we don't even think of it as publishing content for the sake of marketing. We just publish great content because we believe in this propagation of messages, information, inspirational stories, stories of role models, case studies, etc., which is our way of delivering on the value proposition of 1 million by 1 million. And for us, actually, content marketing has been a tremendous blessing in the trend that the audience and the world is connecting with content in a way that it hasn't before has been tremendously interesting as a journey.
Absolutely, and you do a great job of it, so congratulations.
Thank you. So let's, finish the conversation on the topic of unicorns. I expect this unicorn bubble is in the process of bursting. What happens next?
Someone I know well said this to me, that 5 years from now, the aggregate value of the unicorns, the aggregate market capitalization unicorns, will be at least as high as it is today. And I agree with him. Mm-hmm. What is going to change is that a lot of companies that we thought of as unicorns will just go away and will never be worth what they were thought to be worth. And I think let me explain that. I think what has happened is that a lot of companies got hyped to the point where their valuations were far ahead of the reality of those businesses.
Yeah.
And when that happens, bad things do happen. Some of those companies which deserve to exist will actually die and go away. And so you're going to see a lot of infant mortality. At the same time, the trends in technology are real. The trends in MarTech, the trends in FinTech, the trends in marketplace broadly. And I do believe that technology is going to route very, very large industries. And so in aggregate, these companies will be worth at least as much as unicorns, if not more, over the next 5 years.
Yeah, so, the way I kind of differentiate between the two categories of unicorns is the real unicorns and the, hyped up pseudo unicorns, basically, which are going to turn into unicorpses, is the terminology we've been using. And then the ones that are good, real unicorns, are going to continue to scale because these are great companies offering great value propositions, have great business models that people are executing on, and they're going to continue to grow into very large, very robust companies. So I actually think the industry is fine. It's just a correction that needed to happen will happen. What about in the very early stage businesses? What trends are you seeing that are really early trends of emerging trends that are really interesting and that can turn into legitimate unicorns?
So I think, you know, I think the beauty of technology is that we're seeing an explosion of innovation across the board. Every traditional industry is under threat. And we see it in financial services. We definitely see it in a variety of other offline industries with marketplace models coming in to disrupt offline models. I think we're seeing a lot of very exciting innovation in drones and in virtual reality. You know, I've been personally spending a lot of time looking at innovations in drones and virtual reality. And that's very, very early days. But imagine what can happen when you can change the cost of imaging or aerial imaging by, you know, two or three orders of magnitude. I think it's going to create opportunities that are, that we can't even, you know, the use cases and opportunities that are hard to imagine today. Similarly, in VR, you know, someone said this to me, you know, this is, I found a great example, but if you look at video gaming and what consumers are doing with video gaming and how video gaming has become a larger industry than movies, I think VR will be bigger than video gaming is today.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's going to be a fusion of the two as well. Right?
Sorry, say that again?
I said there will be the fusion of those two worlds as well, video gaming and VR.
Absolutely. But I think video gaming, VR will influence much more than just video gaming. I think if you think of all entertainment, sports entertainment, adult entertainment, movies, will all be transformed. I mean, why would you go see a cricket match or a soccer match in a stadium and then sit in the back seat where you can barely see anything, when you can sit in your own home and have the same experience as a person sitting in the owner's box?
Yep. And I think medicine will change also with virtual reality. There are lots of interesting use cases.
Absolutely.
Very good. On that exciting note, thank you for coming, and we will continue to keep you, you know, inviting you back and chatting and leading our entrepreneur audience in directions that are interesting and exciting. Thank you very
much,
Sachin.
This is very exciting. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening.